Hey guys, welcome to Soul Cleanse. If you are craving something that you don't even know what you're feeling anymore, if you're craving a shift in your life, in your mind, in your body, this is where you're supposed to be. You were brought here for a reason. You were brought here to understand your patterns, to move through things, to shift things in your life, and to really learn the tools to bring you into your highest potential of who you are meant to be. Let's dive into all the uncomfortable conversations and the gifts that are going to bring you closer to you. Hello, hello. Welcome, Soul Divers. Oh my gosh. We have quite a bit of a conversation that I've been wanting to share, like to go like in depth here with this man. Like, I've been looking for someone to really dive into a beautiful conversation, even like with my past on things that I've changed within my life. And once I saw Doug, I was like, I have to have this man on. I don't know how I'm going to, but I was just very intrigued with your story, Doug, and from like just listening to you, all of it, I just resonate with so much that you've said, and I'm really honored to have this conversation. So I was like looking at like, you know, you're turning your life into your purpose when, you know, life hit a breaking point for you to like turn it all around, a man of strength, kindness, devotion, and voice of change, taking your past and letting it be, you know, the fuel to your future, which is fucking inspiring. Not to like, you know, live and the courage that it takes and the bravery to really flip the switch on to claim and rewrite your story.
Well, thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to, before any conversation here, I'm going to have you, you know, close your eyes if that feels comfortable for you, to take a minute to think about something that you would like to release today before our conversation.
Sure.
Once you got it, if you're open to it, sharing, and if not, that's okay too.
I think that the main thing I was thinking about was just letting go of trying to like do and accomplish everything at once.
I like that.
So I think sometimes in life, and I've experienced this, that you want like everything to happen at once. You want the relationship, you want the business, you want success, you want fitness, you want all these things. And I think that during different parts of my life, I've certainly fallen into that trap. And then also in certain parts of my life, I have gotten out of that trap where I realized that there's just certain things I need to work on in that moment. And I think, you know, right now, as I'm in this period of growth, professionally and personally, I think it's important for me to remember that I can't accomplish everything at once. I just have to just work on like being great at a few things and then mastering those things and then moving on from there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I resonate with that as well. I think a lot of us can. Sure. Four words to describe who you were emotionally then.
Back then, four words. I mean, back in my early days, like before I went to jail, I would say broken, angry, hopeless, and tired.
Would you say four words what they would be today?
With how I feel about myself emotionally? I mean, I would say, I mean, if I'm giving myself more credit than I deserve, I would say grounded, confident, relentless, and curious.
I love it. Quite a bit of a difference there. This one is going to be kind of just a challenge to see on a 90 second release of like who you were then.
Who I was in general. I mean, mm-hmm. I was somebody before I went to jail. I was a hardcore opiate addict that was selling drugs. I was the kid that you wouldn't want, you know, your son to hang out with. You wouldn't want your daughter to date. I was the person that didn't trust myself. Nobody trusted. I was the person that had 21 jobs by the time I was 21 years old. I was the person that was as unhealthy as you could imagine, 40% body fat, 50 pounds overweight, eating fast food all day, every day, doing copious amounts of drugs, low level of self-worth, self-esteem, no self-control, angry all the time, sad all the time, just no real positive outlook on anything going on in my life.
Oof. Can I ask you too, before I ask you the next thing here, like when you say that, does it like, do you feel who you were then in your body, or is there like no attachment to that part now? It's like observant.
I mean, I think the attachment's in a way going to always be there, right? Because I just think that part of my story drives a lot of what I do today.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as it like hindering what I do, it's not like when I say that stuff, I like, you know, get angry or resentful or,
yeah,
you know, think about it in any kind of negative way. But when I hear myself say that, I mean, I think it's interesting because it's been, you know, it's been also been over 15 years. So I look at it in a completely different context to where I'm just so far removed from that person. It's just funny that that person even once existed because of where I'm at today.
Right. Right. I bet. How would you do for 90 seconds now for you presently today?
I mean, depending on which way you'd want me to go with it. I mean, I would just say in general, like I'm just somebody who's, you know, looking to continue to grow and to do what I can on a daily basis to become a better version of myself, to help others do the same. I'm on a mission to help people, you know, use adversity to their advantage and turn negatives into positives, and also like be a light for people that are struggling with mental health, struggling with addiction, and just being an inspiration to all of that, and letting people know that there is a way out, there is a way forward, but it requires you to make some difficult decisions in your life, make some difficult changes, to focus on healthy habits, surrounding yourself with the right people, believing in yourself, getting spiritual in a way that works for you, and then focusing on how far you've come and not how far you have to go.
Just it's a soul smile within like how we can which completely like transform our lives at any like given moment, and not overnight, but just it's incredible to like hear such a switch in that.
Yeah, it's wild how things change, right? I mean, I think people, I mean, you hear this a lot, that people overestimate what they can accomplish in a like 6 months, and they underestimate what they can accomplish in like 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And that you just don't realize how much your life can change if you're consistent, if you can continue to do the work, if you continue to show up for yourself, if you stack small wins, and if you just continue to build off of that. I mean, over time, you end up just consistently changing your, you know, identity of who you are as a person, like who you are in business, who you are in relationships, and that all just compounds. And eventually you just start unpacking and achieving and achieving, and you get to this,
yeah,
this version of yourself that you just don't recognize because of how far you've come and all the things that you've, you know, started to accomplish in your life.
Absolutely. Are you still friends with people on part of that life, part of your life there?
Like from my past? Mm-hmm. I mean, I still keep in touch with certain people. I mean, for a while I had to step away completely because I just didn't have any, I didn't have anything in common with them anymore. Like a lot of my friends back in the, from back in the day, it was like the lifestyle was, you know, revolved around doing and selling drugs, you know, getting messed up, you know, every night or and very frequently, resulted in making, you know, poor decisions on a regular basis and just getting yourself into trouble, you know, potentially with the law. And it just was something that I didn't want to risk being around anymore. And plus, like once I started to get passionate about health and fitness and wanting to better myself in that capacity, I just found myself like feeling awkward when I would spend time with my old friends because I didn't have anything in common with them anymore like I once did. Like when I had, you know, when I was doing a lot of drugs and selling drugs and living that life, like it felt normal to be around my friends and there was this camaraderie mm-hmm. because I felt like I was part of this group. But once I started to change and develop into this different version of me, I realized that I didn't fit in with that group of people anymore. And it felt like it's almost like an awkward first date where you're sitting there and you just have nothing to talk about. And it's like very short answers, you know, one word answers. And you're like, well, this is kind of weird. I better get out of here. Right. It was like, it was something, it was things like that because it was so shallow and surface level because I didn't connect with them about the same things that I once did.
When did they respect your journey or was it kind of like trying to get you back into what they know of you?
I mean, a lot of my friends knew that I was a complete mess and a disaster and self-destructing on a regular basis. I mean, most of my friends, I think, were cheering for me and being like, you know, good for you for stepping out of it. I mean, of course, it came with some humor as well. And
yeah,
kind of laughing about some of the stuff that I used to do and finding humor in that. There were certain people that kind of tried to bring me back and, you know, shamed me for making certain choices or questioned what I was doing or, you know, called me, you know, names that, you know, you could maybe imagine they would call me when I wasn't doing a certain thing. But at the end of the day, it just came down to self-confidence for me. And I had to be true to myself and what I wanted in my life. And also knowing that if I like went back at any point and tried to make some of those same decisions that I was making, that I was risking my life, risking my freedom, you know, risking, you know, everything that I had achieved up until that point.
And especially when you've seen both roads, you're like, I'm not going to go back to that one. Like, I see where I'm going here.
No, I mean, yeah, it was a very slippery slope for me, but I'm glad I came out like on the other side of it because I've learned so many lessons along the way.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
When was like the moment when within yourself, when you started turning to substance, like what was that? Like, how old were you? What was going on?
I mean, I like to tell people it was like this big ball of what's wrong with me had been created on the inside of me and on the outside of me, just weighing me down because my parents got divorced when I was a kid. And it was at a time where a lot of families weren't splitting up, at least the families that I was spending time with. So I was like, okay, what's wrong with me? Why am I, you know, changing houses, you know, throughout the week? Then I was bullied in school a lot, called some really horrific names. I was like, what's wrong with me? Why am I getting picked on? I'm not doing anything wrong. And then I also loved sports, loved playing sports, loved watching sports, and wasn't making the teams. So I was like, okay, what's wrong with me? Girls weren't interested in me. I was like, what's wrong with me? So all this, as you can imagine, started to build up. And it was hard for me to live life. It was hard for me to go to school. It was hard for me to be around people. It was hard for me to look at myself in the mirror and see the only thing that I thought I could do was find a way to numb it in some capacity and fit in with other people. And initially that came from marijuana, where I got offered a hit off of a marijuana pipe. I took the hit. I felt that huge weight come off my back where I didn't have to worry about the kids bullying me. I didn't have to worry about my family situation or what was going to happen with sports or in class or anything. Like, all that was gone. And so then I just began to chase that numbing feeling for years. And that led to other addictions. It led to me selling drugs, led to me destroying relationships in my life, led to me self-destructing personally. And it led to legal problems. It led to me being incarcerated on felony drug charges, which inevitably saved my life. However, I mean, it also came with a lot of collateral damage and turmoil that I had to spend years unpacking after I got out of jail.
You want to dig into some of that?
The turmoil after jail, or just the jail specific, or just jail specifically?
The turmoil, I think, after jail, because I would imagine like what that felt like there. But I would think that it probably had a lot more, even more when you came out.
I mean, yeah, I was kind of on this big trajectory, big upward trajectory when I got out of jail, because I had found, like, my cellmate got me into working out, and I found fitness when I was incarcerated, and that ended up transforming my life because I was able to do a set of 10 push-ups and run a mile. And all of that seemed like, you know, me climbing Mount Everest at that time, because yeah, I was so unhealthy and unfit, overweight, that the thought of doing anything remotely close to that seemed impossible. And so I had this massive level of self-confidence and belief in myself, which was great because it kept me away from using drugs. It inspired me to change my friends and inspired me to make different decisions in my life. But then I began to just chase that at its core. And I was like, mm-hmm, all right, now I have seen that I can lose weight. I've seen that I can get strong. Like, what's next? Like, let me see if I can get to a certain body fat percentage. Let me see if I can get to a certain place strength wise. Let me see if I can grow my biceps. Because all of these things I thought would lead to a lot of happiness, because as a kid, I was, you know, overweight and fat. I was somebody who didn't get attention from girls. And the kids that I saw getting attention from girls were people that were athletes and in good shape. So I was like, if I can get to that place, maybe I will be able to get attraction from those people, and I'll find myself in a place where I'm actually happy. And what ended up happening was I just ended up like pushing this rock of trauma further down the road, because, you know, I was using fitness to kind of mask all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got to a point where I had completely changed myself physically, and I was like in very, very good shape, and I was still having problems with women. I still wasn't happy when I looked at myself in the mirror. I still saw this old version of me when I came to terms with things. And so I had to really start to go to therapy and begin to unpack my childhood and why I was viewing myself this way, why I had an unhealthy relationship to external validation and even fitness at that point, because I thought that fitness was the end all be all when it came to fixing my mental health and well-being. And it was a long process. It was a long journey, but eventually, I ended up being able to leverage all of that to create a new level of healing for myself, forgive myself for the past, become connected with God and become a Christian, which was something that seemed so far-fetched for me at that time, because, you know, growing up, I grew up very old school, religious, and I believed that if I was good, I was going to heaven. If I was bad, I was going to hell. So I'm like,
right,
well, clearly I'm on the highway to hell based on all my decisions. And then I was like, well, if God's about love and he's supposed to like love me and he created me and all this stuff, then why is he putting me through all this misery?
Right.
So I started to fall into this victim mindset with it. And then, you know, throughout the same time where I had this unhealthy relationship with external validation, I was going to therapy to try to figure out why fitness and being ripped and having some success with that, and as a personal trainer, wasn't solving all of my problems. I also was training a guy who was a pastor at a non-denominational church, and he had invited me for a while to come to church with him. And I was just like, dude, there's no way you're going to ever find me in church. Like, I don't belong there. And then finally, like after a series of events and things not working out with women in my life and just more, reaching an emotional rock bottom, I guess, if you will, and also seeking out counsel from mentors and trying to figure out how I could take my healing and my life to the next level, they strongly encouraged me to like give this, you know, Jesus and Christian thing a try. And then I finally ended up doing so and dedicating my life to Jesus. And when I say that, I think sometimes people might get, I guess, turned off when I say it. And the reason that I think it's important to me is it's about a relationship. Like, I don't just check the box and go to church on Sundays. It's about me trying to have a relationship with Jesus. Some might call that our higher power, God, universe, however they view it.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me believe that even though I wasn't proud of a lot of the stuff that I had done in my childhood and into my adulthood, God was, because he helped me persevere through all of this pain to not only help myself, but now to be able to have a career. Cause at the time I was a full on personal trainer. I mean, now I'm more full time with the podcast versus training. But back then I was a full on personal trainer, built a really successful career. And I began to connect the dots and realize that this was all part of a bigger plan and purpose. And I started to come to terms with my past and understand that there was a lot of purpose in the pain. It taught me a lot about the power of forgiveness and grace and compassion. And it helped lead to me like healing the relationships with certain members of my family. And it just gave me a lot more to live for than just me. Because for a while I thought it was all about me and the way that I looked and the way that I did this and my fitness and look what I could do. And that I did all this by myself. And I got humbled and I had to realize that there was something else kind of guiding me on mm-hmm. this path of life.
So you thought that the secret ingredient when you got out was really turning in like your health and becoming, did you think you were going to become a trainer and like go on from there? And then you're like, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how this is going to go. And then it started to unravel like more of the reality of what's really hurting underneath there.
Well, I became a trainer. Like after I got out of jail, I stayed on a workout path that my cellmate had helped pave for me. And I lost a bunch of weight, got to a great place fitness wise, where I had seen how much fitness had helped me, that I was like, you know, I want to help other people use fitness to change their lives in the way that fitness has changed my life. So I became a trainer. And initially I was like, you know what, I'm going to be a trainer for the rest of my life. Like I love training people. I love helping people. And then as I started to talk more about my story and share why I got into fitness, people would say like, you have a powerful story. You got to share it more. People would really connect with you. And so I started to talk about that more. I wrote a book where I encapsulated my story and, you know, in a paperback, I wrote a book where I shared more about my story that was encapsulated into a paperback version of a book. And I saw a lot of positive feedback from that. So I was like, okay, like I love training people still, and I want to be a trainer because that's what pays my bills and that's where my passion comes from. But I'm also feeling pulled and called to expand on that and start to build, I guess, mm-hmm. more of a personal brand, if you will, to begin speaking about my story, helping other people that were recovering from addiction with fitness, getting involved with like just talking more about life and, you know, the struggles I was going through and being able to help people relate to that and sharing about it also on social media. But I guess when it comes to how it all relates to the healing part and purpose, like a lot of that just kind of came together, you know, because it was like, yeah, once I developed that relationship with God and became a Christian, I realized that there was massive purpose in my pain. I realized that like it was almost my duty as a mm-hmm. as a human now to get up and show up for people every single day, even when I didn't feel like it. It was my duty to continue to get better and to grow and to help other people, even if, you know, it felt painful. So yeah, I mean, the journey after jail was a very painful one. Because I thought that once I just got ripped with fitness, that like life would have no more problems and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
And once I realized that it didn't solve the problems that I thought it would, like it solved me like needing a substance to cope with stress and anxiety. Definitely solved that. Like it was a huge tool for self-regulation when I got out of jail. Massive tool. But as far as it doing what I really wanted it to do, which was to make me happy all the time and get rid of my problems and make me attractive to women, it didn't do that in the way that I thought it would. And that made me angry because I found I was chasing this thing for nothing, really.
Right.
Even though it gave me a lot of benefits, I was like, well, it didn't give me the one thing that I really wanted, which was to, you know, be seen as, you know, quote unquote attractive, or an attractive as in a way that of a romantic relationship and not just getting attention. And I think there's a big difference there. And so it wasn't until I, you know, started to develop a relationship with God, heal my past, look at the way I viewed external validation and internal validation and swapping those out, and knowing that if I wanted my relationship with fitness or other people, friends, romantic partners, you name it, to be healthy, that I had to get to a place where I was at peace with myself, at peace with my past, at peace in the present, and peace at peace with where I was going in the future. And that just took a lot of time, therapy, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but it was definitely well worth it in the end.
Wow. Pretty powerful story. Ugh. Like from all of that, you know, like how have relationships have they been for you now? Like, have you been able to, like, do you attract women that seem to have like a deep part that they're on their healing journey that you're helping them? Or are you finding that that's like an in-between of like where they're on their path and they're dedicated to where they're going? Or do you find them needing more help on their path?
I mean, I think it's a mixture. It's been a mixture of, I guess, both. I think early on in my, I guess you call it dating career, I guess, in the simplest way, you know, I would attract people that were on the journey, or I would attract people that I thought I could fix. Yeah. And I realized that I couldn't, you know, I realized that even as much as I tried to fix them, like because I thought that if I fixed them, that they would be perfect and that we would have this perfect relationship and I would get some satisfaction out of that. And then I realized that I had this, you know, hero complex, because maybe I was trying to, you know, save parts of them that I, you know, the same kind of stuff that I would struggle with, whether it was low self-esteem or, you know, not having discipline or not having, you know, certain aspects of my life together, whatever it was, that I thought that if I did this thing and I tried to quote unquote fix them, that they would, you know, then appreciate that, become this perfect partner. We could live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
But really what it was doing was it was just getting me involved in a pattern of trying to fix people, which I think is a pattern that can just lead to a lot of negative outcomes if you're not careful with it. And so now, I mean, it's not that I don't attract people like that. I mean, I'm sure I still attract people like that, but the difference is I don't entertain it like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like before, I would give people the benefit of the doubt. I would just say, oh, they're just healing. They're just focusing on getting better. And if I'm like good to them, and if I do certain things, like they'll be happy and I can fix them. I mean, it was like almost like, you know, being a people pleaser, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like, if I see something like that, I mean, I'm just like, thanks, but no thanks. And it's just a different outlook that I have now. And still, me and relationships are still a work in progress. I mean, I'm by no means perfect at all. I mean, I never will claim to be. I'm still like learning and growing just like everybody else. I just think the difference is my confidence is in a place where I don't need a relationship. Like if somebody comes along and it's the right fit and we get along great and we're very connected and have a lot in common, have a lot going, and we just, you know, end up like syncing up really well and bring the best out on each other, then obviously, yeah, then that would be great. But if it's not like that, or if it's, you know, somebody that's not on my level or I'm not on their level or whatever the case may be, like, I don't want to settle just for the sake of being in a relationship.
It's good. It's really good. I mean, it's a different mindset than how you were before. Now, you know, you have the fit body or the fitness one, you know, you're at a clearer head. And then I'm sure that you're attracting, you know, all different types of women now, especially when healing's attractive. And it also can, you know, bring up some insecurities in others too. You know, like it can be a little bit of like a threat to the nervous system, especially if they want that for themselves and they don't know how to access that part. And they can really look up to you on that part.
Yeah, I mean, I think healing can be attractive. I also think that, if I'm being honest, I think that you don't always have to be constantly healing. Like, that's just my perspective. Like, and it's just changed. Like, of course, like when I first got into the personal development space, I was so obsessed with personal growth. I was like, oh, you always have to be working on something. You have to be healing from something. But I just think there's also a time and place just to just be. And that,
right.
the best way of, you know, healing or personal growth, however you want to put it, is just by moving forward and just taking action and like stepping into that next version of yourself. I think that goes a long way. And I also think that, to me, if somebody's so obsessed with healing, that's all that they think about, that's not attractive to me, because that means to me that depending on what they're going through. I mean, obviously if somebody just got out of a breakup and they're focused on healing, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Right. But I guess I'm just talking in general terms for somebody that hasn't really had like this massive event go on, but they're like, they're focused on healing all day, every day. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like their job. And I just think that could be unattractive, because to me, that could be a sign of somebody who's a perfectionist, or somebody who, you know, just nothing's good enough for them, or just right. somebody that maybe doesn't have the right level of self-confidence or self-esteem that would be healthy in a relationship that I'm looking for, because that, you know, they're always, you know, they're just not always content searching. With, and they're not content with who they are. And it's not to say that I'm not judging somebody for that. I have compassion, because I've definitely been there. Like, I've definitely been the person that's looked in the mirror, no matter what I did, no matter what I accomplished, no matter who I was as a person, like I still wasn't happy with who I am or who I was. And this is like, and this is me when I'm doing good. It's not me like when I'm in the, you know, the depths of despair, when I was living the life that I was leading before.
Right. I mean, I've went through my share on, because I was heavy into drugs when I was younger as well too. Like, my first drug was cocaine at 13, and I was getting picked on and everything in school, and then got into fitness, became a personal trainer, went into the whole like almost similar stories here, but I did not go to jail. But I started to really become addicted into healing. Like, really, like, let me dive into this, let me dive into that, let me dive into this. And I was like, wait, hold on, this is actually starting to become like this is my life now. So now pulling that off and like balancing all the work that I've done and just like doing it in a way where you get to be and just enjoy life, where it got actually really exhausting. I was like, this is too much here. So it can really do a catalyst, I think, on you when you start first doing the diving on yourself. You're like, I'm healing, I'm doing all this and that. And I think that over time, when you do a lot of it, then over that, then you get to take that into what you're doing now on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I mean, it can be tough for sure, but I think it's also, I just think it's super important to just have that healthy balance. You know, I guess what I was trying to say before is that there is a time and place where you got to focus on yourself and focus on working on yourself. And I think that is a very important part of life. But I think that when it becomes this unhealthy obsession, and it limits you from taking those steps that you might need to heal or make progress in your life or experience a level of growth, I think that's where it becomes a problem. Like, sometimes I think that in the context of relationships, like when somebody goes through a bad breakup and it really, you know, wreaks havoc on them, and they spend quite a bit of time, you know, working through some things, and then they're just at a place where they're like, all right, like, I've understood why I went through the breakup, or why this relationship didn't work out. I've understood why I chose that partner. I'm going to therapy, I'm doing all the things, and I'm at a place now where I'm content and I feel more secure, and I feel you know, more stable as far as like my emotions, and I'm not as reactive as maybe somebody can get when they're going through something as hard as a breakup. That maybe the thing there that to heal is just to go out and start dating and start to practice and implement what you've learned and what you've found out about yourself, to see, to prove to yourself that you have changed, and to prove to yourself that you do have different values and you do have different things that you stand for. So I think that, I mean, it just all depends on what the person's going through. I mean, it's not like when you lose a job and you're going through, I mean, you're like upset with yourself for losing a job. I mean, it's not like you have time to like sit there for months and be like, I'm just going to heal and then find another job. Like, you need to make money. I mean, you got to support yourself. Like, you got to like figure it out.
Right.
And what happens from that? Well, what happens typically, I mean, in a lot of cases, is that, I guess it depending on, again, this is all depending on the situation. I'm just thinking about this in general terms, but you hear a lot about people that the reason that they got into this career that they're in, where they're thriving and they're making a difference, they're making a lot of money and they're happy and they're surrounded with good people, is because of some crap job they had before, where they either had to quit or they got fired.
Yeah.
Right. And so I just think it, you have to look at it with a lot of nuance. You have to understand that the biggest step you can take in many cases in healing, in my opinion, is to take that step forward. It's not to keep looking back, because you can try to figure out what happened over and over and over again. And there's sometimes you just might not know, like you might not actually come to terms with what went wrong, because, you know, you can spin it up in your head, and specifically with like breakups, you can try to connect the dots and you have your own confirmation bias on things because you have your own perspective and you're biased towards that because, you know, our egos get in the way and it's like, well, I mean, I'm having a hard time admitting fault and responsibility. I mean, having a hard time admitting fault and responsibility. And so there's just so many things that go into it. So I always say, like, you know, look at the past as much as you need to, figure out how you can move through that and heal and come to terms with all of it, develop the awareness and the acceptance, and then figure out a way to take some action and take some small steps and have some small wins that reflect where you want to go.
Yeah. I agree with you more. I'm out. You know, I think that sometimes having that a little bit of time with yourself is important too, because I think that some people can just jump into something because they can't, you know, like they can't be single with themselves. It's like they always have to jump into something next at the distraction. So I think that becoming more whole within yourself a little bit more until you feel like, okay, you know, obviously it's going to have a little bit of tenderness when you go back out there again, but you know, it's going to feel a little bit different, more than like, I need to, I can't be alone on that part.
Right. Right.
Yeah. How, like, would you say now the relationship, like, with yourself is, like, a routine that you did then into like a routine that you do now?
I mean, it's been a complete like 180, where my relationship with myself before, like, I think I hinted at this at the beginning of our conversation, like, I hated who I was, despised the person I had become. I was angry, I was resentful, and my habits were just terrible. I mean, I was a drug addict. I was doing drugs and selling drugs all day, every day. I was eating unhealthy. I was creating unnecessary drama. I was angry at the world, angry at myself, couldn't hold a job. And now it's quite the opposite, to where I truly care about myself. I practice a lot of self-love and self-care techniques. I'm very into fitness, very into eating healthy, very into taking care of myself, have great relationships, heal the relationships with my family, have purpose and meaning in life. I think most of the time I do a great job at navigating my emotions in the best way possible. You know, I'm somebody that's on a mission to help others, which was something that was so far removed from who I was back in the day. And the other thing too is that, you know, I stay committed and I show up for myself every single day, even when I don't feel like it. Like, I love embracing discomfort, where before, anytime life got uncomfortable for me, I would use a substance or something to immediately check out from feeling that pain.
Can you dive into that part there? Like, how do you strengthen? Would you give any sort of like insights, the ones that, you know, want to cover up or numb or avoid, you know, what they need to feel like, and to actually, like, a little bit of your insights on that?
I mean, just from my own experience, I think any time that I've pushed something away, it's always come back, right? So whether I immediately, like, when I pushed away a lot of the anger and resentment and sadness I had with the drugs when I was younger, it all came back to bite me in the butt, like, years later, and even throughout the course of my teenage and young adult years. And I think that in the simplest form, and this is the most direct, like, if you don't have a healthy relationship with pain and discomfort, like, life is going to be very hard for you. And you have two choices in life. I think you can either, and you have to, like, you have to choose your suck. Like, you really do have to choose your suck. Like, embracing discomfort and sitting through the pain and choosing healthy alternatives, you know, when it comes to that, whether it's meditating, walking, calling a friend, calling a mentor, fill in the blank, all that sucks. It's hard. It's very difficult to sit through painful emotions. Like, going through a breakup sucks. Painful emotions, right? And dealing with that is even harder sometimes, because now your first instinct is, I feel less than, I feel angry, I feel resentful, I feel anxious, I'm not lovable, whatever the negative thoughts that spin and ruminate in people's minds. And if you think about it enough, you're like, well, I don't want to think about this anymore. How can I get rid of these immediately? Well, I can just go on dating apps and I can scroll and swipe. Mm-hmm. I can do, you know, I can, you know, if somebody, you know, sometimes, you know, and then a lot of times, obviously people will say, I'm going to drink, I'm going to do a drug, whatever, to numb the pain. I'm going to go shopping, spend money I don't have. And all that sucks too. Like, so you have these two dynamics of suck. Yeah. And I like to use this analogy because I think a lot of times people are afraid of suck, of feeling the suck and feeling the adversity that comes with these choices. But both of them are hard. But it's like, which one do you want? Do you want to choose the suck where you risk self-destructing your life even more and creating more problems in your life and ruining other areas of your life besides the one that's being impacted right now? Or do you want to choose the other alternative to where you are embracing it, choosing healthier alternatives, and life is, it's challenging. It's a lot harder in the short term, but long term, man, like your life will be a lot better because now you're teaching yourself that you're capable of facing and solving problems. You're teaching yourself that when life gets hard, you don't need to check out. You're teaching yourself that when things go your way, that you can overcome it despite how challenging it might be. But I think what happens is because we want things right away. I talked about this at the beginning. We were like, what am I letting go of? I think at times, I personally want everything to happen at once. And that's something that I have struggled with. I mean, it's not something that I constantly am thinking about now, but if it's something that I'm like thinking about in the context of like, what's the one thing that, you know, I've worried about more recently, it's like, okay, how can I have these other things in my life that I don't currently have? That, you know, I think what happens is we end up becoming addicted to instant gratification and from solving our problems quickly. And we end up using a short-term solution to fix a long-term problem that creates more problems down the road. Like, you know, if you're fresh out of a breakup and then like you're immediately getting on dating apps and swiping, well, that's a short-term solution for a long-term problem. Like swiping on dating apps isn't going to fix your insecurities. It's not going to fix the level of pain you're experiencing right now. It's not going to fix like how you see yourself in the mirror. It's not going to fix any of that. In the short term, it may make you feel better about a situation if, you know, somebody matches with you on a dating app or if, you know, you get attention from certain people and you go out on dates. Like in the near term, it might. But in the long term, you're still going to in some way be faced with a lot of that pain that stemmed from that relationship or your insecurities that you're going to eventually have to deal with, right? So you just end up prolonging the inevitable. And in the case of, I know I'm going down this rabbit hole, but I think it's important because the main idea of my show, The Adversity Advantage, isn't to suggest that when you go through something like adversity, that all of a sudden, like, you know, life is going to be better immediately. It's like, no, like, how do you use that situation to grow and become better, like down the road? How do you not destruct your life, you know, from that by the choices that you make? And I think the biggest thing that I tell people is that you have to stop the bleeding, right? And I think when people are going through adversity and they are using things like drugs and alcohol that can seem very therapeutic in the short term, but long term create so many more problems.
Yeah.
Right. It's like people who go through a breakup and then they just, you know, start drinking bottles of wine every single day so that they don't have to face their demons or their face who they are in the mirror or identify like what went wrong. A lot of times then they end up losing their job, or they end up getting into fights with their friends, or they end up, you know, maybe getting into, God forbid, getting into, you know, a car accident or something where they're, where now those choices in response to the adversity created way more problems than the adversity itself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very slippery slope to go down, because now we live in this world where we can get things at our fingertips when we want things. You want to know where you go? Pull out an app and you can just, it'll type in the address. It'll take you there. You want food? Pull out an app and you can pull out the app and it'll order your food. You know, you want to figure out who won the game last night? Just pull, you know, it, and all of this is, in a way, is healthy, I think. To where if you're using these things in a healthy way, and it's not, you know, you're not getting addicted to just wanting things immediately, I think that's a, right, that's a good thing. But if you're the person that is just so addicted to getting things immediately and so addicted to instant gratification, that then when you want your pain to go away instantaneously, then, and then when you want, you know, your pain to go away instantaneously, and then you're falling into that pattern of instant gratification, and now you're looking for ways to get rid of that pain, I mean, that becomes this, this horrific pattern that you fall into, to where your life can completely fall apart if you're not careful.
How do you stop the internal dialogue that's like, let me just pick that back up, you know, like, let me just have that release, let me have that drink, let me have that, like, you know, that internalness that always is like, you should probably just pick this up right now. Like, how do you fight that? Do you just go out and, like, what is something that you had to change that internal dialogue for you?
I mean, now it's not a thing, but I'd say, like, back in the day when I was battling with, you know, cravings from drugs. I also want to say I got really lucky in that when I got into recovery from drugs, I was in jail. So I was forced to deal with a lot of these negative emotions, cravings, all this stuff head on in a place where there wasn't room for error. Like, I didn't have access like I did out here. Right. I couldn't act out in an unhealthy way, or I could find myself with another charge, get my butt kicked, you know, ending up in, you know, solitary confinement or something like that. So I do want to preface that by saying I was very fortunate to be able to learn a lot of these patterns and a lot of this stuff while I was behind bars. But, you know, even if I think about, like, the times when I got out of jail where, you know, I would get triggered or whatever, I would remember what I was fighting for. And I would remember that I didn't want to feel like I did before I went to jail. I didn't want to be that kid ever again. And that I knew that these feelings would pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that just because these feelings came up or these cravings doesn't mean I have to give into them. Just means that they're there. And frankly, they're normal. I mean, they are. It's a normal part of the healing and recovery process. And so I would just find an alternative to deal with that. And again, like I said, fitness became this massive self-regulation tool for me, specifically running, where I could go on these slow jogs and process a lot of my emotions. But for somebody, I mean, who's listening to this, and this is just, again, only based on my own experience, like, you have to find things in your life and these guardrails to help you through situations like that. Like, you have to have these almost pre-planned. Like, you have to be organized. Like, you have to have community support. You have to, you know, get involved in some exercise or movement program to clear your mind. And again, it doesn't have to be going to the gym for hours a day. It could be going for walks. You have to have mentors. You have to have a deep emotional why into why you're fighting for what you're fighting for. Because a lot of times, like, people's reason for getting sober or getting into recovery isn't to just stop using drugs. It's to, like, save their relationship with their spouse. It's to save their relationship with their kid. It's to prevent themselves from getting locked up. It's to prevent themselves from dying. It's to prevent themselves from whatever. And you have to tap into that. It's just like with any other goal in your life. Like, if it's surface level, it might last for a second, but it's not going to last for a long time. Like, if your goal with fitness is just to get as ripped as possible, well, that's surface level, and that can only last so long. You can only get so ripped. You can only get so ripped. But what are you going to fight for? Like, once you stop, you know, losing body fat, you know, if you get to that place, or, you know, you find yourself just miserable because you realize that you have this unhealthy attachment to external validation, like I did. right? Then things start yeah. to change, and you have to really dig deep and develop that emotional why so that you can lean in on that to remember that, like when you're, you know, going through times where, you know, things get uneasy and you feel triggered.
I love that. I love that insight. Like you really have to know your why. You have to dig into your why. It can't be, you know, sometimes it can be a motive of somebody else or, you know, your children or anything like that. I mean, I think that should be, you know, extremely important, but that why has to come rooted, you know, that hungerness for you to go and like, this is exactly why, and fight and fight and fight and push when all those things come up. Like yeah. you have to keep coming back to your why.
For sure. I mean, it's important no matter what.
Like how, because now you're into, you're a speaker too now, right?
Right.
Like how did you go and also I just want to ask, like, do you get tired too of sharing, you know, your story? Because I'm sure you share it like on a so much that like, you know, it's like water for you. It's like taking a sip of water, just like drains out.
I mean, I can't say I ever get sick of sharing my story. I mean, I think there's different things I like to talk about within the context of my story, depending on what I'm personally working on, or depending on somebody's audience or what have you. But I mean, like I said, like, I feel like it's just my duty to show up and to share and yeah. to help people whenever I can. And I think when it comes to like getting into public speaking, I guess I started to share on a smaller basis with my personal training clients about how I got into fitness and how I was addicted to drugs and how jail saved my life. And I saw a lot of success with that, where people were very inspired. They were like, you need to share this more, blah, blah, blah. And so it started I've started to put my story out more with in local news and local newspapers, and just sharing, you know, stuff at companies and stuff, that it just in a way built momentum. And I saw all the positive feedback that I just ended up like seeing the good that came with it, and seeing
yeah.
How excited I got when I went to speak, and feeling fulfilled when I got done, that I wanted to do more of it. And it wasn't easy, because I was stage fright. I was anxious and I was nervous. I was like, what are people going to think of me? What are people going to think when I share this or that? But once I realized that the only thing I could do is focus on myself and just focus on, you know, sharing a very engaged and inspiring conversation, I feel like the rest will take care of itself. And I also realized that the people that were like judging me for a lot of what I did in my past and shaming me for certain things just weren't people that were people that just weren't meant to be in my life long term.
You're doing medicine to the little you, like, of everything that you, so every time those insecurities and things come up, you're continuously holding that little person in you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the ultimate vehicle to turn pain into purpose, is giving back and sharing your story and being able to kind of, you know, help people through the same struggles that you were once going through. I mean, I think there's nothing better than that.
What would you find that, like, from what would be, you know, we know the struggles then, like, what would be your struggles now?
Like, what am I struggling with now? I can't say I'm really, like, I'm not perfect, but if I think that I'm, like, it's, like, hard for me to say that I'm, like, deeply struggling with anything right now. I think if anything, it's just more timing of certain things. Like, I'm looking to move and out of the state, and I just have some things that are here that are kind of keeping me here in the near term. So just that balance with that, where I feel like I'm not out of alignment, so to speak, but it's more like I feel like I could be thriving mm-hmm. in a different city. I just feel happier when I'm in different cities. But I also, like, for the time being, I need to be here. So that's something that I'm currently battling with. And I think the way that the redirect with that is just focusing on what I can control, knowing that this is only going to be short term. It's not going to be the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And continuing to work hard to put myself in a position so that when I do move to whatever city I pick, it's the best situation possible.
Love it. What are things that, like, what's an idea, like a good night for you now?
What's a good night?
Yeah.
You know, it all depends. I mean, if I'm being honest, like a lot of times my idea of a good night is like getting done, you know, getting like done like a day like this, eating some dinner, and then just like laying on my couch and watching football. I mean, that to me is like a perfect, that sounds like I'm thinking about what I'm going to do when I get done this. I'm like, that sounds so perfect to me because I just want to relax. I want to chill. I mean, but it could depend. It depends. Like some nights it could be like me going out or me going on a date or whatever. I mean, it all depends on what I have going on for that time in my life and in that point of the week or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's all dependent on the situation. I mean, I'm good now compared to what I was before, where I can kind of live in the moment and just take things day by day. Whereas before I was so hyper-focused on planning everything to a fault to where, I didn't leave myself like much wiggle room for change, which, you know, can become a problem specifically when it comes to relationships.
What lights you up?
I guess, I mean, just helping other people really lights me up. And just having people reach out and tell me how much my story inspired them or how much it gave them hope or, you know, led to some level of growth for them. I mean, that really lights me up just because, again, like I feel like I was kept alive for a reason, and that reason is to help other people, to share my story, to inspire them, to become a better version of themselves.
So powerful. Do you have like an ultimate and like big goal for yourself?
Big goal. I mean, it just depends on like what bucket of my life we're talking about. I think in the context of business, you know, I just want my platform or my brand to be this platform that helps inspire people to, again, use adversity to their advantage, to overcome and recover from addiction, to improve their mental health, to show them the power of fitness, relationships, faith, believing in yourself, like all those things and what they can do for you. And I think that comes out in my podcast, comes out in my social media content, speaking,
Absolutely.
books. Like it comes out in many different ways. And then personally, like obviously I'd love to settle down at some point and meet like a romantic partner, to find a good woman to be able to settle down with and get married. But that's not something that's like, it's not like a goal. It's not like a, I'm not like aiming towards it like I would like fitness or number stuff. Like it's not like I have it on a board and I'm like, all right, by like December of 2024, I need to be married. It's completely different. But it is something that I do want. So I have to think about, am I putting myself in a position on a regular basis to come close to that or to get closer to that? So
Absolutely.
and then I just and I think also personally, I'm just always looking to just grow in a way that suits me without like being so focused on the healing part, but just being somebody that's always learning, always curious, trying to figure out ways that I can, you know, grow, that I can get better, that I can, you know, master my craft more when it comes to the specific things that I'm working on, and just wake up tomorrow knowing that, you know, I did the best that I could yesterday, and then I woke up just a little bit better.
Good. I'm gonna go into a little bit of like a fire round with you.
Sure.
What is your favorite song to jam out to?
There's been so many throughout the years. I would say probably Eminem "Till I Collapse."
It's your last day on Earth. What do you want to do?
Eat a bunch of ice cream, pizza. I'm kidding. Well, I didn't. That is going to be part of it. I would say, like, I would just want to spend the day with the people I care about the most. Spend a lot of time outdoors. Spend some time in the water, on the beach, parasailing, hang gliding on a boat, and then like enjoying some great food, like a pizza, ice cream, pasta. Like if I'm going out, I'm going out. I'm not focused on eating chicken and broccoli.
If you could have dinner with four people that are past or alive, who would they be?
Four. Mm-hmm. My cellmate Eric, who's unfortunately passed away last year, is one. Shaquille O'Neal for sure. Mark Wahlberg, because he says, like, people say that we look alike, and
oh yeah,
and I do. And I'm a big fan of his work. The fourth, it's tough. There's so many people, but Joe Rogan.
Words of wisdom for anyone struggling with addiction right now.
I mean, I just, again, this is just based on my own experience. It's like, you have to, again, know that everything is going to be okay. And that in order for your situation to change, you have to change. And that starts with just taking one step, focusing on one small win, whatever that is. It could be going to a meeting. It could be, you know, going for a walk the next time you're feeling triggered, and then celebrating that and building off of that because you didn't, you know, choose an unhealthier pattern. It could be, you know, calling a mentor. It could be calling a friend that you trust and acknowledging and admitting that you have a problem. It could be, you know, finding some support online, whatever it is, like finding something that you can start to stack, like habit stack and win stack, so that you can build off of it. Because what I found is that when people are trying to get sober or into recovery or however they like to look at it, if they say, all right, I'm just not going to use for the rest of my life. Like, I think that for many people who have been using for decades or years is to think about that. It just seems impossible to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about, like, what is like an easy thing I can do right now to start to change my state, to start to change the situation. And then just acknowledge that, like, listen, like, none of this is going to be easy at all. It's gonna be very tough, very challenging, but once you get on the other side of all of this, the strength, the wisdom, the courage, the confidence that will come is going to be life-changing and will help you for the rest of your life. And that you have to pay attention to what you do on a daily basis, and eventually those days will stack up. Like, doing everything you can on a daily basis to make sure that you're pushing yourself away from that version of you that you don't want to be anymore. And just doing that every day, I just think you'll notice that over time, things will slowly start to get better. And then you also have to make sure that you're focusing on how far you've come, not how far you have to go. And I say that a lot because it's easy for people to look at all the things they don't have in their life and then just get caught up on that, when you have to, especially when you're in the thick of, like, coming out of something like addiction, where your self-esteem and confidence is shattered and you feel like you haven't accomplished anything. You have to start to stack those small wins, like I said, and then build off of that, and then, like, lean into the things that you have accomplished and start to celebrate that. So, I mean, I wish I had a silver, you know, like a one size fits all answer. I don't, because it's a very complicated and nuanced subject, but I do think if you reach out and ask for help, focus on the small wins, take it day by day, accept and acknowledge that it's going to be tough and that you're going to have all this great strength that comes, and you find a way to get yourself some help and ask for support in the way that you feel most comfortable, I do think that will give you a big opportunity for success.
What do you want to be remembered as?
Life transformer.
I love it. That's what I go by. I love
it.
That's really good. And what would you say to your younger self?
You know, stop being so hard on yourself. Things are gonna work out for you. Focus on getting strong internally and physically. Stop worrying about what other people say about you. They're not going to be in your life for the rest of your life. And stand up for yourself more. Stop letting people walk all over you. I mean, there's so much I would say, but I think those are the initial thoughts that come to mind.
Doug, it's been a pleasure.
Dylan, thanks for having me. It's been great.
So good. Where do we find you? Like, what do you have going? You have a book, you have speaking, all the things. What's happening?
Yeah, I think the best place to find me is my website, dougbopes.com, where there you can find my podcast, The Adversity Advantage, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also find my different books that I've published, and you can find other interviews that I've done and more information about my story. So I think that's the best place to find out more about me, and also the stuff that I speak on and stuff like that.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure just to share this conversation, and anyone that, you know, it impacts on a day-to-day. I mean, these conversations can really save and have people look within and save their own life. And I'm always inspired by having the realness here of what life is and the challenges that it takes us through. So I appreciate you and your presence and doing what you're doing and walking into your purpose and continuing to be the life transformer that you are.
Thanks, Dylan. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, very welcome. Thank you guys for always listening, for diving deeper into yourself, seeing the pains that you need to walk within yourself and reclaim a version of yourself that has always been embedded in you, to reclaim more of the soul that wants everything that you desire and more. Always a pleasure, and take care. I also want to mention that my book is now currently open for 2 to 3 soul divers that are ready to go on to this soul cleansing journey, that are ready to do the work within themselves, that are ready to evoke those truths that are coming up that are holding you back, to see what that pain point is right now for you. Maybe there's something where you feel stuck in. Maybe there's something that you're just craving, that inner fire within yourself. Maybe you feel so good that you just want more. Whatever that point that's bringing that elevation of that emotion that's getting your attention right now, that's craving more, craving a breakthrough, let's connect. How we do that? How do we do a soul cleanse journey? We do it through physical movement. We do it with breath work. We do it with meditation. We do it where I ask you deep evoking questions to see where that lands in your soul, in your heart, to open you up in your spirit to even more of yourself, where you can't deny your own truth. We can add in yin yoga. We add in Reiki. I add in all these different modalities, and this is your unique journey. No one has the same journey. It's by listening to what things we're calling for within ourselves. We're saying, is this it? I know there's more out there. I know there's more within me. That is going to be your beautiful voice that's leading you to more. More expansion, more of your light, more of everything that you could even imagine. If this touches on something, please reach out. Reach out, reach out. And if it touches on something but you're not ready to reach out, honor where you're being led. Honor where you're being led. To stop ignoring your own truths. You're only making yourself sick. And you deserve nothing but the absolute best in your life. Soul divers, continuously take care of yourself. And surround yourself with people that can deeply see you. But the most important secret is for you to deeply see yourself. I can't wait to connect with you. And if you're just here, just listening, I'm so grateful for you to be here. Thank you so much for being here, and share this with somebody that may have this hit them in a certain way. Maybe you want to do a soul cleanse journey with a friend or a partner or family. Reach out. I get so inspired and lit up by taking humans into this deep evoking journey within themselves. It is the most beautiful, transformative thing I've ever seen within people. You get to come into this light within yourself that you didn't even know was there. You are the light. And I know that might sound super cheesy, but it's true. We all need to shine and be our own unique lights in this world. Thank you so much for being here and continuously to choose you.